Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Gil Alexander of A Numbers Game is going to join us. We will go over a little bit of everything the week that was in college football, NFL, U.S. Open, baseball. I will start the show here with some reaction to the college football opening weekend, get my thoughts on UNC TCU, which is going to be fascinating. I actually think is flying under the radar, and maybe a little bit of baseball at the end as we lead into Gil. But just takeaways here from college football, and this is someone that looks, I like betting on all these games, talk about betting on all these games. Of all of the things we bet on, week one college football might be the most ridiculous just because we talk ourselves into what we know and what we think and all of these opinions, and not like the bets went badly by any stretch, but it is so just difficult with all of the moving parts, new teams. Ohio State, Texas, that was basically two new teams you were looking at with all the 14 guys Ohio State lost to the draft, four guys in the first round, new quarterback for Texas, which I'll get to. There's not anything else we bet like where you sit here week one and you've never seen these teams. We have no idea what we're going to get, yet we talk ourselves into having opinions, having takes, having bets. So that was one takeaway, even though the bets went okay from everything we discussed going into the game. But just that's something that really jumped out to me, where sometimes it's best to preach caution. And week one college football, week zero college football, there's just nothing to go by. So it is very strange from a betting standpoint to sit down, have these bets in your account, have money on these games, and then once the games start and say, all right, how confident am I really? What do I really know? That was certainly a feeling I got this weekend. As far as Arch in Texas, it was bad. I'm sure it'll look better at some point. I think people forget. I was probably guilty of this too. Patricia won Super Bowls as a defensive coordinator. I know he was a flop as a head coach. He didn't go well, and he rubs people the wrong way. But it's still a guy who, you're talking about him at the college level now, basically against a teenager, a very young quarterback in Arch who's never played on the road. He's going to throw some things at you with all of his experience with the Patriots, winning Super Bowls, defensive coordinator, was an NFL head coach. He's been around forever. He's got a lot of experience under Belichick. He's going to be able to throw things at Arch that Arch can't recognize, has never seen before, has a hard time identifying. So not shocked that Arch went in there and looked confused, looked lost. And I would expect Arch to come back, bounce back, and play much better. Obviously, he's not going to be that bad where he had 30 yards midway through the third quarter passing. It was awful. It was hard to watch. I don't look at Arch and say, oh, wow, I see it. The number one prospect, number one pick in the draft. A little bit of a weird arm angle, arm release. The arm talent looks, he's got a good arm, but I don't know if he has a great arm. But again, he's going to play better at some point. And I will say this too. It's very obvious that people do not like when you're crowned prematurely, number one pick in the draft, Heisman favorite, all of these commercials, all of this fame and attention. People don't like that. When you go out and you don't back it up, people were very quick to take their shots at Arch on Saturday, saying, wow, this kid is supposed to win the Heisman. This kid's the first pick in the draft. You could sense the resentment towards Arch with all of the fame and all of the tension he got with how poorly he played Saturday. People were very quick to jump on him and pile on and make fun of his performance, which you could understand to some extent. People, they want to see you earn it first. They want to see you, earn those accolades, earn that status, which I'm not really sure Arch has yet. It's more of name recognition. He's the starter. And, people were very quick to jump on him and make fun of him, more completions than commercials, that kind of thing. So I'd expect Arch to play better. I wouldn't completely, just say, oh, he's going to be a bust or anything. 14-1 now to win the Heisman. You're getting twice the odds. You're getting now before than you were before the game. Would you think about jumping in at that number? I would probably need a little bit more. I still think there's going to be some growing pains with him, but just in terms of a sheer value standpoint, I can understand saying, I was getting 6-1, 7-1 before Saturday. He has one bad game. It's before the season. He's got plenty of time to erase that memory. I can understand taking a shot at 14-1, even though it's not enough for me. I still think, again, there's going to be some issues here with Arch going forward. But that was a very impressive performance from Ohio State's defense on Saturday. Another impressive performance on Saturday was LSU. That was a game we gave out. Plus the points, they end up beating Clemson. Probably should have won by more. Brian Kelly did one of the dumber things. He got away with it. He did one of the dumber things you're ever going to see before the half. I'm still shocked he did it. like fourth and two from the plus 11 yard line. There's 15 seconds left in the half and he goes for it and he throws a short little pass and they don't get it. Even if you get the first down, you're only going to have time for like maybe one more pass after that. And then you're going to have to kick the field goal anyway. I thought he was just trying to draw him offsides. That was one of the dumber, stranger decisions at 10-3 right before the half. I thought it was going to cost him, at least in terms of, you know, if not the actual game, at least the spread maybe. But it didn't. LSU dominated the second half. Clemson did very little on offense all night. And LSU, boy, they looked the part. They looked fast. They looked tough. They moved the ball when they needed to. LSU was very, very impressive. That was one takeaway. They, let's say, dominated the game, but really dominated for long stretches against Clemson. They pull off the upset, mini upset, 4.5, 5.5 point dogs. And Clemson did get bet late all the way up to 5.5. But LSU goes on. They win that game. And the other one, too, the other one takeaway here is obviously Bama. 14-point favorite. This is now four losses DeBoer, the Alabama head coach, has had as a 14-plus point favorite. This is not going to last long in Bama if this is going to be a regular thing. 1 year, of course, you get a grace period. You can't just go through cycle through these coaches. And my guess is they would give him the second full year no matter what, even if it's a disaster. But you can't afford too many of these. You can't come out as a 14-point favorite and look. And they looked like the inferior team. They looked like they lacked competitiveness. There's one replay where one of the guys is jogging. I'm just saying this is not going to last long if you're Bama. I don't know who they'd replace him with, and we're not quite there yet. DeBoer's a guy who was it was a home run hire. He brought Washington to a title game. He won everywhere he went. He beat some of these other guys that were in the mix for that job, Sarkisian, and you know, you go down the line, Lanning. He beat all of these guys in putting Washington in a position to get to that title game and earning, you know, this job. So it just might not be a fit. Again, who knows? It's early in the season. It's only one game. Maybe they run off 8-9 in a row and you replay this a couple months from now and it looks stupid, but you can only afford so many of these at Bama. Another 3-4 plus loss season, especially when you're losing these games, is huge, huge favorites. That's just not going to go over well. It's not going to last. It's not going to fly. It's not going to fly at Bama. So Bama, that did not look like a fluke. That did not look like an upset. They went right down the field and scored a touchdown. And after that, it was all Florida State. The quarterback ran all over. The defense had no answers, couldn't get a stop. The Bama quarterback, Simpson, looked lost. He was terrible. So, again, he still has a leash, DeBoer, but that leash gets shorter and shorter with all of these 14-point favorite losses. And he had another one here on Saturday. So those are the big takeaways. The game on Monday night here, TCU, North Carolina, I cannot wait for. I think this is actually, believe it or not, I actually think this is flying under the radar. I actually don't think enough is being made of the fact that, oh my goodness, Bill Belichick is about to coach a game in college football with UNC, just him, the uniforms. You know, Michael Lombardi is a guy that, you know, I and a lot of people at the network know that have worked with for all the years. So there's a lot of factors here that just make me fascinated to see how this is going to go. I made the point earlier, you know, betting week one college football is so hard because there's so much you don't know. And there's no bigger example of this, no better example of this than UNC. You could tell me it goes really well when Belichick coaches these guys up and they're flirting with a playoff spot and say, you know what, it's Belichick. Can't underestimate him. I could see it. And you could tell me this is a borderline disaster and I wouldn't be shocked with that either. I really have no way, no feel, no way of knowing which way it's going to go other than I will say this. Knowing Lombardi, knowing Belichick, my sense is he will build a pretty good defense. So I like the under. We still get it at 56 here. Talked about it when I was on one of the Vision shows last week. One of the Vision shows at 58.5. Just with that line of thinking, knowing how Lombardi thinks, knowing what kind of team he builds, Belichick became very conservative his later years with the Patriots. You know, not going to go for it as much on fourth down. I think they build a team that's good on defense, good in the trenches, a little conservative on offense. To me, he's going to try to win these games, you know, 23-20, 24-21, a total of 55, thinking, you know, he's going to win these games 31-28, win or lose these games 31-28. I just don't see Belichick and Lombardi, for that matter, with all of this, you know, time and resources to build this roster from scratch and mold it into whatever they want it to be, building a team that can't get any stops, that has to win the game in the 30s, that's given up 30-something points a game, I think he'll put a pretty good defense on the field, if not a very good defense on the field. So I would be inclined to take the under. I lean towards taking the plus 3.5, but my man, your guess is as good as mine in terms of what this is going to go, what this is going to look like, how this is going to go, whether it's, you know, winning by two touchdowns, losing by two touchdowns. I have no idea. Again, I would just expect, if anything, if there's anything that I feel somewhat confident about, it's that Belichick and Lombardi put together a pretty good defense here and are able to slow the game down and keep this game in the 20s. So I would go under the 55 here. But again, a lot of uncertainty, and I am just fascinated to see what this looks like here. Monday night, Labor Day, everyone watching. That's a great environment for a game. That's going to be a lot of fun here to sit here and watch TCU, North Carolina. And who knows, maybe they start the season hot and they run off 3-4 in a row and they get a little buzz where it's not impossible they flirt with an ACC title. Clemson certainly didn't look like world beaters on Saturday night, and maybe they're in a position where they can, you know, flirt with a playoff spot. Again, who knows? I think that's the fun part, is the fact that we don't know, that this could be a success, this could be an absolute disaster, this could be somewhere in between. That's what really makes this so much fun, is that there's no way to know here what Bill Belichick coaching this team in college is going to look like. So I can't wait for it. It should be a lot of fun. I will go under the 56 here with UNC, TCU. I'll be rooting for UNC, but again, your guess is as good as mine when it comes to the actual result here of the game. Before we get to Gil, quickly on the baseball here, I think that I'll put it this way. The 12 teams that are in right now are the 12 teams I think that are going to get in. I don't think the Reds are going to catch the Mets. I don't think the Royals or the Rangers are going to catch the Mariners. I think we have our 12 teams, and it's just a matter of the AL East. Does somebody catch the Blue Jays? Blue Jays are able to tack on a game Sunday over the Yankees. Yankees lose. Blue Jays win. That's now three. And remember, we don't play tiebreaker games anymore. There's no more game 163. So if the Blue Jays and Yankees finish with the same record, the Blue Jays win the division, and they have clinched that tiebreaker. They're up 7-3 in the season series. They play three games again a week from now, September 5th, 6th, and 7th. So the Yankees are in a position where the schedule's reasonable. They've played much better recently, and they have had a strange, strange season. They were really good the first couple months. They were awful for a good stretch the next 6-7 weeks, and they've played really well the last 3 weeks. So we'll see what they have up their sleeve going forward. I'd expect Toronto, especially adding on a game today, they play well enough against the Yankees where they're able to keep the Yankees at bay and hold on and win the division. But that's one you keep an eye on: AL East, Blue Jays, and the Yankees. NL West, Dodgers, as we're recording this, looks like they're about to win and go up two games on the Padres, who lost again. Now, the Padres do have an easy schedule, 10 games against the Rockies and the White Sox, but Dodgers have the tiebreaker there, and it just feels like every time the Padres inch closer, the Dodgers inch away and do enough to extend that lead to a game, to two games. So I expect, even though this is not a great Dodger team and that Padre bullpen is loaded, I'd expect the Dodgers probably hang on and win. You know, Astros with a two-game lead in the AL West, those are really what we're looking at, because the Phillies are going to win the NL East, Brewers are going to win the NL Central, Tigers are going to win the AL Central, and we pretty much know our 12 playoff teams. So AL East, AL West, and NL West are the three races, and we'll see here if the Rangers or Royals can make a run at Seattle. I mean, only out two and a half games for Texas. So it's possible, it's doable for Texas, a team like Texas, to sneak in and catch Seattle. We saw Detroit get red hot in September after being out more than this, you know, heading into the month. So there's still time left, but I come back to the idea that the 12 teams we have right now, as the playoff format would currently stand, I think are the 12 teams that ultimately get in. And it's just a few of these division races and seedings and buys that we're playing for here as we have a month left in the season. All right, we are back. Should have been more podcast. Excited to talk to this next guest. It is the great Gil Alexander, Beating the Book, Megapod, Numbers Game. You can find him everywhere. Gilly, what's going on, man? Thanks for coming on.
What's happening? Thanks for having me. Is this your first Should have been more under the VSiN umbrella?
I did an abbreviated one Friday, previewing the college football. And so you're nice. You are back at the top of the premium guest list where you belong here.
Congratulations.
Yes. We'll get into a bunch of things here. Let's start with the college football. Did you have anything from the Saturday action that triggered a bet for you?
I only made two. Well, I made one pre-flop, which was I didn't listen to Dr. Bob, who had Texas 3 points better than the rest of college football, but did not make a play on Texas because he said there was a historical trend that took him off the game. I ignored that and sadly took Texas. And then I split my two live bets, one of which was on Tulane, which got there, minus 13 in game. And the other one was Alabama, a money line price in the first half at minus 102. And that is, I think that's what the headline is, Will, which is for all of these sports we talk about preseason, and some college football experts always take this wrong for me, but I feel like college football is the sport where we absolutely year after year know the least about. We know nothing, absolutely nothing. And I think that was revealed in spades yesterday in so many different places.
It's funny because that was my next question. That was something I talked about in the open, and maybe it was something that I picked up from you just like being in the group chat yesterday. I was going to ask you, is there, of all the things we bet on, and we bet on a lot of stuff, is there anything more ridiculous than betting on week one of college football before the games when we haven't seen the teams, the players? I mean, there is just such so little to go on, at least with baseball or the other sports you can go on the year before. It's just, it's all new faces, all new teams, and we talk ourselves into, you know, having opinions and having takes and forming these opinions on these teams. It's just so hard to actually, you know, bet on.
It is. It truly is an insane thing that we do, and no more obvious than all the hours we spend on it. And specifically, obviously, Arch Manning is the big one, right? Where it's like, okay, here's this guy. We're already talking about tanking for Arch, for God's sakes, right? We're talking about how this is the prize. And if his last name wasn't Manning, I don't know that we've seen anything yet that justify. I mean, I'm being gray area about it. We haven't seen anything that justifies the hype yesterday. And I know it's only one game. Maybe he turns out to be great. Maybe he does. But there was a lot of mechanics problems in that game. He missed a lot of receivers low and high. Like, there was just a lot of plays where you're like, oh, my God. You know, like, that was not pleasant to watch until he got it going too little too late.
Yeah, that was my other takeaway, too. People do not like, and just being on Twitter, just, you know, group chats, things like that, people do not like when a player is crowned before they've earned it. There was a lot of blowback on Arch with, oh, this kid's the first pick. This kid's the Heisman. A lot of jokes. He's got more commercials than completions. And it's just that's just the nature of, you know, human sports fans. When you've been crowned before you've really earned it, people look to take shots at you when you fall on your face like that.
They sure do. They sure do. And on the other side of the field, I will say this. Ohio State was super conservative. I think Julian Sain might be much better than we think he is. We didn't really get to see it for much of that game yesterday until we did. And so I think the object now is to look, now that we have seen a game, as opposed to heading into week one where we're just all flying blind, now we do get to sort of try to figure out what might be an overreaction in our opinions, right? So like, oh, Ohio State, they won, but they didn't look all like, yeah, I think they still might be great, right? Texas probably won't be that bad. FSU, man. Like, that looked pretty legit. And Castellanos, I guess we're calling him, right? Castellanos, we're going with. I remember when he was at Boston College, I remember, again, referencing my buddy Dr. Bob again, he didn't really love him. And I shot him a text yesterday. I was like, what was your opinion on Castellanos again at BC? He was like, well, if I thought he was surrounded by people. So he sort of hedged out of it a little bit. Yeah. But he backed up all his schmack talking in the offseason. That was and by the way, Kalen DeBoer, that's another one. Remember a year ago how it was like, wow, this is the perfect person to have been hired after Nick Saban. And it's just like, it's 5-5 since, you know, what, the Georgia game last year?
It's incredible. I think he's already lost four games as two touchdown plus favorites. I mean, it's just, it's really incredible. We have a game Monday night. It is going to be the TCU Horned Frogs laying 3.5 against UNC and the Bill Belichick-led Tar Heels. I actually don't think enough is being made of that. I actually think it's kind of flying under the radar. The fact that Bill Belichick is coaching the UNC Tar Heels here on a Monday night in college, it's so bizarre. And then you throw into the fact that, like, you and I worked with Michael Lombardi for a long time at VEASAN. He's running the show. An exercise in ridiculousness here too. What is this going to look like?
I We just talked about how we know nothing. This is the perfect game. Like we still have the Miami game tonight, which is kind of like one of the games I've been looking forward to this weekend. But you're right. I think like I sort of I think the UNC game is kind of flying under the radar. I think we've almost forgotten about it. I can't wait to see what this looks like. I have this hunch, maybe you planted a seed in my head about this at some point in the offseason, but I have a hunch that they're not as confident about their team, perhaps, as they would like to be. But that makes sense. They're first year guys, so they don't have control over the whole roster at this point or who's playing for the team. So we'll see. And this is the fascination of how Belichick slash Lombardi, I guess we could say, will transition to dealing with 18-year-olds. I just think the whole thing's fascinating in the same kind of way that the Colorado, in a different way, but in the same sort of sideshow way that the, primetime Deion Sanders Colorado thing was a couple years ago.
Would you dare wager on this game?
Pre-flop, no, but give me 1.5 drives and I'll be in.
Okay.
Yeah.
I gave out the under like a week or so ago just because when it was 58 and a half, now it's 56. I just thought that knowing what we know about Lombardi and Belichick to some extent, I can't see him building a team that's like basketball on grass where you win in the 30s. Conservative, probably decent on defense. If you're going to say, hey, what do you think you know about Belichick and UNC and Lombardi's team? I would think they'd be pretty good on defense. I think that'd be something they prioritize where they stop the run. They're fundamentally sound. So I don't see a 34-31 type of game. So I'd be inclined to bet the under if anything. That makes
As
sense to you?
always, you have a very well thought out, very solid take on it. Maybe you're wrong, but if you're wrong, it's still not a bad. It's still not a well thought out take. It's very. I think you're probably onto something there.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. I really, of all the games this weekend at Texas, Ohio State, all the great ones, I'm fascinated to see it. And just Belichick on a college sideline, those UNC uniforms, it's going to be so bizarre, but I'm really, really looking forward to it. Baseball, the games are going on for Sunday as we speak. What is the race that you're really glued to here? Is there a bet still to be made in baseball, futures wise?
Your Yankees are gonna win the East, man.
I think they are.
I feel it.
I
Your
think they
Yankees are
are.
gonna win the East after all that. I feel like
After
they're gonna
all
win
the
the
bad
East.
things you said about them, they're going to win the East,
Yeah,
yes.
that's right. It was me, not you. It was me. I think the Astros are gonna win the West. Like, I don't think that's a thing. I do think the Rangers are gonna make a move here, but they lost Eovaldi, so even that's not fun anymore. Phillies are winning the NL East. As much as I'd like to say the Cubs are winning the NL Central, I don't think they're going to get there. And then every time we talk about the Yankees in the East, every time we look up at the NL West, like I'm thinking, like, oh, the Padres got to be up three games by now, right? And they're never ahead. Or if they are, it's for a minute. And there we look today again. I'm like, didn't the Dodgers just get crushed by the Diamondbacks? So they're still ahead by a game. So that's the kind of, I'll tell you what I'm rooting for. This is what I'm rooting for in baseball. I'm rooting for a team that has quit at the trade deadline, right? That has summarily quit. The Diamondbacks, the Giants, a team like that, who are 5.5, 6 games out of the third wild card. I'm rooting for a team like that to flirt with getting into the playoffs. I don't think they'll get there. By the way, I don't think any of the teams on the outside, you brought this up first, I think a
Yeah.
few weeks ago. The Royals are only two out. I don't even think they're getting there. I just think the 12 teams that are in right now are the 12 teams that are going to be in the postseason.
Are
But the
we
Yankees, to answer
required?
your question, the Yankees
Yeah.
to win the AL East.
Okay. Are we required to mention this every year? Just shame on baseball for not having the tiebreaker games anymore. The fact that it comes down to season record, it sucks so much drama out of the sport to not have these tiebreaker games. They're some of the best games in baseball when, all right, we played 162, we got the same record. We're going to play on a Monday afternoon to settle all this. It was the best, and we don't have it anymore.
How can they not know this? How can they be this stupid? As this has nothing to do with that, but I was just thinking about this with tennis. We're recording this on a Sunday morning. There's only two matches at the U.S. Open going on. Jessie Pegula's crushing her opponent, Ann Lee, right? It's like 6-1 in the first set, and then I think she's winning in the second set. And there's this other men's match that's going on, like going to like a first set tiebreaker, Manarino and Lehecka. And of course, all they're showing is Jessie Pegula because she's American. And I'm just thinking, I'm like, Do you ever think you're going to grow your sport doing stupid stuff like this? Like, why is this the decision? Why have you decided this is the decision? That baseball does stupid stuff too all the time. It's like Rob Manfred always presses the wrong button.
Last one on baseball. If you had to pick a World Series right now, what were the two teams you'd pick?
I'm going to go with the matchup that I have at 66-1, which is the Tigers and the Padres.
Okay. It's a rematch, right? 84, something like that? 84,
84.
84. Okay.
84 was the year that the Tigers famously started 35 and 5. 35 and 5.
Wow. Yeah. That's incredible.
Yep.
Tennis, anything we should be betting on Monday? Anything you want to get out there?
I have not looked at the lines closely enough, but my hunch is that I will be on Naomi Osaka over Coco Gauff.
Okay.
At a fairly nice plus price.
How's the tournament been so far from just an entertainment standpoint?
Entertainment, great, because there's nothing like the petulance of players at the US Open and the rowdy crowd. Medvedev smack, you know, cracking rackets, getting the crowd riled up over an umpire's call. Yelena Ostapenko going after Taylor Townsend, calling her classless and uneducated. Like, it's just such a freak show at this tournament. It's so unlike the other majors. Certainly different from Wimbledon and the French, for sure. And then just from a betting standpoint, the hard court season has been spectacular so far for me. So hoping it continues today, we'll see. But it's been great, as hard courts typically are.
All right, last couple before I get you out of here. NFL, you always ask this, and I think it's a great question. I always, when I host, I steal it, and I ask other, I aggregate it, I don't steal it. the football opinion you have that is contrarian. You always ask this, and it's a great way of just getting a different take out of people. To yeah. answer your own question, what is your football take that is different than the consensus?
I'll give two. One, you know, the whole – well, Washington won so many close games, and they did it miraculously with Jaden Daniels. And so people's brains, for whatever reason, don't go to – they're unlikely to win as many of those. Their brains go to, yeah, they're going to suck kind of feeling, right? They're going to drop off a cliff. This kid is so amazing. Like, it's – he is not – he is cerebral. He makes all the right decisions. Do I think they're going to win 12 games again? No, I don't. But they're not going to win six either, right? I think they're the team you don't want to get into the playoffs. They're that baseball team where we talk about, like, who's got great starting pitching, you just don't want them to sneak into the playoffs. That's the team you don't want to get in the playoffs. And I think if they do, they're going to make another run to an NFC championship game or beyond. I think that's a little contrarian. The other one is, what's the one that's been driving me crazy? Oh, you're not going to like this. Well, there's a couple. One, I think there's a tail on your Minnesota Vikings where they're really bad. I really do. We'll see. It's all going to come down to J.J. McCarthy. That's maybe not contrarian. The one that I feel is contrarian is, are people pronouncing – how are the Chiefs only minus 125 to win the AFC West? What is this?
A lot of Broncos love.
This is the one bet that has been staring at us all summer long that just sits out there, and everyone's acting like this is not insane. They have won 9 of these in a row and have been to 5 of the last 6 Super Bowls, and I get it. The Eagles crush them, but eventually they'll get Rashee Rice back in 6 weeks. They can't be – you know, they couldn't have been worse. Some of their offensive linemen last year were terrible. I just think that's the – that's the I any Chiefs dislike, and Travis Kelce has lost 2.5 steps. I get that as well, but I rail against that.
You know, we talked about in the beginning how one of the more ridiculous things we bet on is week one college football without having seen these teams. Week one NFL is not that far behind. It's pretty hard. Go ahead.
No, we see that in Survivor, right? We're not even picking against the spread. Everybody gets beat, you know? Yeah, totally.
We're going to have to pick a few for the Megapod here in a few days. Do you have any idea, like, what one pick would be? How many bets will you actually have here in week one, too?
I struggle to come up with 5 contest picks, and my bets will always match those. But will I bet all 5 of them week one? I don't know. I will tell you the ones that I came up with as the 5. I'll do it off the top of the dome. Atlanta plus 2.5 against Tampa Bay. Oh, should I be telling you this before the Megapod? Maybe you're gonna copy all my picks, Will.
Nah, it's not gonna happen. Unless they're good.
Unless they're good. That's right. I like the Steelers on the road against the Jets. I feel like I'm on an island with that all of a sudden. Like nobody likes the Steelers anymore against the Jets. All of a sudden the Jets are good. Denver, I know it's the square bear pick of the week, but I don't see how Cam Ward first game in elevation against the Denver defense. Denver has a great historical record at home and against the spread weeks 1 and 2. So I like Denver. That's three. What's 4 and 5? Now it's gonna escape me. 4 and 5. Anyway, those were three of the five, but it was a struggle to come up with. Let me see if I can find the game here. If I stare at the schedule, pardon me, Will. This is a little hold music. Time out. I like the that's your hold music. Where is it? 49ers laying the 2.5 at the Seahawks. That's one of them. And then I like the Lions catching 2.5. Oh, I actually like a six. And I like the Ravens catching one.
Wow, you're firing on the whole board.
So I was going to say, well, I don't know. Like, those are the six that I'm considering get five of from the, from my, for the contest picks. I can see myself betting on half of those, three of them.
Can't wait. This is the best. I mean, you start Labor Day weekend here with all these college football games, and it just it once it starts, it doesn't stop too. And then you
That's
have the
right.
baseball pennant races mixed in, the baseball playoffs
Oh,
mixed in,
so
and you
great.
blink, and I people always the listeners always make fun of this because I bring it up. It's like you blink, and it's like Thanksgiving once football starts.
Did you feel like this has nothing to do with any sort of science? Did you
Yeah.
feel like this was a long off season or a short one?
Well, in terms of the NFL, I felt like it was just normal. I didn't feel like one way or another. I don't know. Is that,
I felt like
did
we were waiting for football forever.
you thought so? Okay.
Oh yeah, I don't know
Because when you and
why.
I did that, you and I did the podcast the night of the Super Bowl, and looking back, I mean, I don't know. It doesn't feel like it doesn't feel like it's, I don't know, because I'm betting baseball every day, so I don't know. It just goes by, it went by pretty quickly.
I
I
bet
will say
tennis.
though, like the NBA playoff seems like it was 10 minutes ago, and that's back in the spring. And like just having kids, that's a different school year. The summer came and went. So from that standpoint, I feel like it went by pretty quickly.
Oh, that's a good go. Well, see, I would go the opposite. I felt like the NHL and NBA playoffs took forever.
Yeah.
Like, I just remember because my brother was in town, we would watch games that night. I just remember it's like interminable NBA playoffs. And Indiana couldn't quite get there. That's all I remember
Yeah.
now.
Gilly, this is the best, man. A numbers game, Megapod, what else?
That's it. That's it for now. Guessing lines every Monday, starting week two though. So Megapod, the first Megapod this Wednesday. I'll be at the Wynn doing it this year, the beautiful Wynn studio. And so I'm gonna try to get as many local guests in there with me. So I'll ask Fez to be the first guest this year.
Ooh, there we go.
Yeah.
That's starting it off right.
People seem to love that guy. Not a lightning rod at all.
Yes. Yes, 100% approval rating, which is always
Yeah.
good. All right, Gilly, appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, that will do it. Thank you to Gil Alexander. Rate, review, subscribe. You're gonna have to resubscribe for people, and I tweeted this out. If you subscribe to the old podcast, you are not necessarily following the new podcast, so keep an eye on that. Spread the word, retweet it. Anytime you switch over like this with the podcast. Need all the help we can get in terms of spreading the word and how to find it. But appreciate you guys listening. Thank you to Gil. It is great to be back. Great time of the year. We'll be back Wednesday. See you then.